Welcome to Spooning. This is the post-spring break edition. It is March 31st. Only, I think, 7 weeks left in our final semester here at St. Olaf. McElrath cannot join us today, but welcome to the studio, Noah.
Thank you.
And Calvin Lee.
Hello, Dan.
I'm your host, Dan Hagen, and we're just going to get right into the spring break trip. We did not get to do the live podcast that we're hoping to. we'll get into more of that later. But I guess I just want to talk about the trip because I know many of our listeners were anxiously wondering about our trip. Got a lot of emails inquiring about what happened. We appreciate that. Keep them coming. But we'll just start kind of with like with a synopsis. If you guys could break down the trip into just like a sentence, what would you say? Sorry to put you on the spot.
Nine dudes actually kind of getting along for a whole week.
Okay. Guy, what do you say?
I'd say it was a chill party, crazy party, and then chill. It was kind of a three-segment trip.
Mm. Vegas. So you said you think Vegas was kind of chill?
It's kind of a chill party, like, atmosphere. Not, okay. Maybe not chill, but, like, I don't know.
It was different. The three, so...
It's higher scale.
Business so casual, felt, yeah. Bro tank, hiking mm-hmm. boots.
Oh, I like that description.
That's good.
The best.
Because there certainly were three segments to our trip.
Yes.
We started in Las Vegas. We were there for 2 days. Then we went to Lake Havasu City in Arizona, and then we went to Joshua Tree National Park in California. And I think Noah's statement sums it up. His first one definitely has some merit to it. We got along really well, I thought. Like, not even actually kind of. Like, I think we got along very well.
And did a lot of the same stuff.
Yeah.
Was a thing, too. Usually you'd think that there'd be nine different people wanting to do nine different things.
And it was almost eerie. You probably won't like this metaphor being a very... being in statistics and analytics, but
yes.
it seemed strange how we all like ended up in like the same locations, you know, like we were washing, like you, myself, Calvin and the Lecheskis, were going to, sorry, Ryan's at the door.
Oh.
If one of you wants
classic.
To get that. Thanks, Cal. It was us four, you know, walking around and we just like ran into the other five. You know, I thought that was...
That happened like multiple times.
Yeah so I'm just, and I can't remember the other instances.
I know Joshua Tree, there's a few times we're like, hey, we'll just meet back at the camp.
Oh, right,
like,
yeah.
Something that, like that. And
right.
we just always ended up
yeah.
working out.
Yeah, it was pretty cool to not really have any like flare-ups whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome, McElrath. On time as usual. Oh, that mic isn't on, yeah.
Given that you weren't here.
So we're just talking about spring break, so thank you. You'll have a lot of input to this conversation.
I wish.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of a slow spring break for me.
Okay.
I decided to stay home.
Okay, we'll leave the listeners on their seats for that.
Okay. You know,
we'll talk about that yeah. next. It sounds really exciting.
Yeah. Get ready for some crazy stories.
Okay. Sorry to bore you with Las Vegas first and the other places. And then what did you say, Cal? So it was chill party.
It's kind of like, yeah.
I get what he means by Las Vegas
like
chill.
It's like upscale, uh-huh. yeah.
So the crux of what you're trying to say, like the crux of our trip was the energy level was certainly in like hot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that. It was kind of building to that, and then we had 3 days of just
there's a cool
bang,
off
bang,
period
bang,
after
right?
that. Right.
Yeah, I had that third day in Havasu, I was kind of, so me and Dimitri, I think, were on kind of opposite spectrums this trip. I think you said this, Noah, that every person kind of had their own place, I feel like, you know. So Dimitri, our good friend Dimitri, he's very big into the party scene, I would say.
Yes.
And he really thrived in Lake Havasu. Imagine a stereotypical spring break, and that was Lake Havasu.
SAE bro. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Fraternity spring break. There were a lot of fraternities there dotting the...
APO was in attendance.
The service fraternity was our fraternity, Alpha Phi Omega. And but there were a lot of the schools that were represented were like Boise State, Nevada, Reno.
New Mexico State.
New Mexico yeah, State.
Just, yeah,
some California schools. So we were...
And St. Olaf.
Yeah, and St. Olaf. So we really were kind of the odd guys out, but I think we kind of relished in that role. We kind of... It gave us a little bit of freedom.
I think we're used to being odd, yeah.
Yeah, and... I really milked the Minnesota, you know, analogy. Like, I, you know, I said, I'm from Wisconsin, but I said I was from Minnesota.
Close enough.
And, you know, we have about 8 feet of snow back in Minnesota right now. So it's good to get away from that for a bit. And they're just like, oh my gosh, really?
How do you do it?
it was kind of fun to play into that. But I don't know. I feel like Noah, you and I were kind of on the same page in Vegas. And for me, I could only be like ironic, you know, for 2 days.
Yes.
And that third day, I mean, you were still out there, excuse me, but you know, I kind of crashed that third day. I kind of went to bed after dinner.
Oh,
yeah.
What, there was six of us in a room, like, talking, and you were face down in a mattress?
Right. Yeah. That was the instance that we're talking about. So for me, I just got a little tuckered out. But that's okay. The first 2 days, I really did enjoy the first 2 days in Lake Havasu.
I feel like this trip for Dimitri was definitely kind of making up for the 4 years of going to St. Olaf over going to like Iowa.
Yeah.
Just kind of like gave him the taste of the fraternity mm-hmm. life that he may have had going somewhere else.
Yeah, do you think he would have preferred that?
I think, not saying anything bad about St. Olaf, but I think he would have really liked a more of a college, like, game day experience, I would say.
But big fish mm-hmm. little pond.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if many of our listeners might now know Dimitri, but I kind of think the same way Noah does in that I kind of think he relishes, you know, being the, like,
the biggest, guy.
The guy on campus.
I think there'd be some pain involved with having other people who are like him around.
Right.
Him.
That's
be,
true.
It's like true competition.
Right. I agree.
He absolutely had no competition.
Yeah.
My favorite story of Dimitri is freshman year, for the first like couple weeks, he decided to go to every freshman dorm and knock on every door and introduce himself to the entire class of 2017.
Yeah, I remember him.
Wow.
He phrased it as monopolizing friendships.
Mm-hmm.
So he'd just go to every dorm and just kind of like make them part of their friend group. But we're getting off track, Ryan. I know you don't have much to add to the spring break thing. But one more thing I was going to mention. Las Vegas was fun. I thought the architecture there and just the buildings were really impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Like being, was that beneath the Venetian where they had the fake sky and
the
river?
Trippy. That was trippy.
That was pretty neat. The Caesar's Palace was very impressive.
Not the real one, but.
Right. Fun fact, Caesar did not actually live there. The Caesar's Palace is beeper friendly though. So one thing to point out. If you haven't seen The Hangover,
yes,
I apologize.
I just got the reference.
But Caesar's Palace is good. The $150 that I lost left a sour taste in my mouth. But nonetheless.
A good lesson.
A good lesson. a very good lesson. I do not foresee myself returning to Vegas anytime soon. So maybe they might have lost, honestly. Because I'd probably bet more next time. So I came out a winner. Let's just leave it at that.
All right.
And then we haven't even mentioned really Joshua Tree National Park, which is really the highlight of the trip for me. Just climbing. I just love like going wild. And
that
just
one climb we did was the coolest part
it
of the
was
trip.
Epic. Yeah.
And that was really
that was
fun.
Sweet.
Just went climbing.
Amid all the flack that I got for going to Joshua Tree with nine dudes, people, I was telling this to Dan, like people cannot wrap their heads around nine dudes camping at our age.
Hmm.
They think it's, they're like, I got questions like, what do you talk about? what are you going to do?
Right.
I just didn't even know how to respond.
People would often ask, like, is this like a school trip? Like, or is this like a team or something? Like, no, we're just a bunch of guys.
Oh, yeah. I think we discussed we needed to make like a theme. Like,
yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, this is our rock climbing trip or this is OSR. You know, we didn't have it.
Just
nine amigos.
just trying to have a good time at Joshua Tree.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that at all. And I thought that was incredible timing. I mean, all credit goes to Tyler Rice, if he's listening. Mostly planning this trip, so
yes.
It was a very, very well planned trip. Joshua Tree was a very good ending, and shout out to Tyler Rice's parents. They were the true MVPs of Joshua Tree.
like, carried us,
like we had a campsite and we had food.
Really?
Yes, and just wonderful people as well. So
yeah, they had to clean
nice
up thing. After us.
Yeah, they took down our tents.
Pretty
like,
much just left everything.
Yeah.
So, what do you say? You didn't actually camp, but you glamped. Was it glamping or?
We were in, well, most of us. I can't speak for everyone in this room.
I was invited to a better place.
Yes, very honorable for you leaving the tent. So I was in a tent originally with four other dudes. One left the tent to be in an RV.
I see.
I'm not going to mention who it is. But we were camping.
You roughed it a little bit.
Yeah, I would say the, you know, pretty medium quality sleeping bags and sleeping pads. So
I hear that it gets fairly cold out in the desert at night.
It did get very
still
cold.
Very little cold.
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably like 40 or so.
I hope you had a sufficient sleeping bags for that.
Yeah, sleeping bags. I also brought like my winter jacket.
That is smart.
But no one else brought their winter jacket, and I really didn't know how people like got on. Because
are you
like,
saying you overpacked?
No,
I hear he was ahead of the curve.
No, I absolutely did the opposite of overpacking.
Dan brought a backpack.
I brought one backpack. Most of it was like snacks too, like Snickers bars and almonds. Yeah. But I did bring a winter jacket. Were you guys like freezing in Joshua Tree?
I wore like sweatshirt and like everything. So
okay. Yeah, I had a sweatshirt. It was cold though. It was cold.
We made it.
I guess we can go to McElrath's spring break.
Yeah, it was lit. State of Minnesota, man.
What'd you do?
So much snow.
So much snow. Just hung out with my mom and pop.
Did ice fishing. Did some ice fishing. Some shoveling.
Yep. Some cow tipping.
What else?
Everything,
cow tipping.
Everything. All of those sorts.
What else?
Sledding.
A bear attacked you. That's not even worth mentioning. It happens almost every spring break.
Glaze over that one. I hung out with one of my high school friends for a couple of days. Got to kind of talk and do the routine questions of like, hey, how's everything going? Because my friends and I, we really don't keep in contact too much until like we're actually like in person.
I'm so glad of that.
Yeah, and then. And then we just, like, bro it out for, like, 4 to 8 hours before we have to go our separate ways. But, yeah, we played some bowling. I lost, but, I mean, that's – anybody can beat me in bowling.
Okay.
And then
70? 60? What?
85 for the first game.
Have you considered bumpers?
Not great.
Bumpers are for the week, okay. Daniel.
Okay. So someone who gets 85 is strong?
Weak? Yeah, is that –
no comment on that one, sir.
All right, continue.
Anyways, I have to say my high for spring break was going to see the new Beauty and the Beast movie.
Ooh. Oh, I've heard it's
with,
good.
Emma Watson,
who's incidentally your favorite.
She's
actress.
My idol. Yeah. she's my future wife.
Keep her PG.
Oh,
I was kind of like, I mean. It's very difficult to try to recreate like a movie that is so highly praised by like the Disney community of like Beauty and the Beast. So I think she did an adequate job at trying to like bring back that same magic. But I mean, you just can't beat the original in most cases.
And this is one of those.
And this is one of the cases. Okay. Yeah, I felt like she like throughout the movie she got better as like Belle, the main character in Beauty and the Beast. But it was still not the same.
So are you ripping the movie or Emma Watson?
I can't do either. Emma Watson's my girl, and she was given an impossible task. So you just have to praise her for the effort that she did put in. Yeah, but I don't know. Just hung out. No skiing, actually. It was fairly warm in Minnesota.
So. But, like, dog sledded to the movies, things like that. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I got to hang out with my dog. That was the best part, I would say. Like, just hanging out with my Portuguese water dog, Fletcher, trying to teach him how to roll over. It's a very difficult task to teach a very dumb dog how to, roll on the ground. So, or on command, at least.
That sounds really exciting. I'm glad you had, I mean, it was a restful break.
It was a restful break.
That's good.
Yep,
that's
exactly.
Good to have. Okay. I'd just like to welcome a special guest to the studio who you just got in here, Hayden Williams. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's an honor to be on the show.
Thank you. I'm humbled by your presence as well. So we were just talking about spring break earlier, and I just want to catch some of your thoughts. We kind of synthesized it into one sentence, if you'd like to do that, or maybe just what was your favorite part or really anything.
Yeah, it's really too many special moments to really capture the trip in one sentence. But I would have to say just being in the presence of 8 additional terrific people was probably the highlight mm-hmm. of the trip. And I think it will provide many lasting memories. And it was just an honor to be part of the trip.
Yeah, I agree with that sentiment.
Wow.
I honestly do. Just a great group of guys. And I really appreciated how much fun we had. So, yeah, thank you, Hayden.
Even a few tears.
Well, yes, there were a couple of tears. 2 to be exact. 1 from each eye of Dimitri during a very special dinner together. If you'd like more info on that, just send us an email or contact us. I think I'd just like to continue. Does anyone else have any more thoughts on spring break?
As eager as they probably all are to hear, we can move on.
Okay. So I'd just like to talk about, you know, this week for a little bit because, you know, spring break was a week ago. And just a very interesting week for me. Spring break comes at that crux of the spring semester where, you know, a lot of work, midterms are there, and then you finally get done and it's just like, okay, I need to rest. But oh, wait, like I'm going to Las Vegas right now. And I was just kind of like hopped on adrenaline for a week. But then this week has been very, very tiring for me, which is fine. I've taken the opportunity to rest quite a bit, which is good. But kind of an interesting week. I'm looking to be re-energized for next week. That's my goal for this weekend. What about you guys? How are your guys' weeks?
It's hard to come back and get stuff done. I think I'm still in the spring break kind of mood. Mm-hmm. And I put off a lot of stuff.
Okay.
I finished a take-home test in starting at 1 and finished 1 minute before it was due.
Okay.
I've got a 7-page paper due on Tuesday.
Okay.
Or Thursday. Professor Tolliver really doesn't give you hard like deadlines.
He really doesn't.
No. Because I asked for an extension last week or like before break, and I asked him like, hey, when do you want this like do? And he's like, well, you can turn it on Thursday, and if you can't get in on Thursday, then you can get on Tuesday, and if you can't do Tuesday, then Thursday. Yet he sends out emails like every week saying like if you have not like turned in like these response papers, like you have 7 throughout the semester, if mm-hmm. you haven't turned in 1, you must drop the class because you will fail, even though he's only failed 1 person in his like mm-hmm. career. He's a very...
It sounds like an empty threat.
There's always one person. Yeah. Like, there's always like one... I've done this to one person, and I always just want to know who it is.
Exactly. Yeah, so I better turn that in so I'm not the second person to fail mm-hmm. environmental ethics.
It sounds like a good plan.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And my friend is coming in tonight, so that's going to be fun.
Very fun.
Thank you.
Yeah, I always think the toughest part is just getting back on the routine that you'd established before a break such as the one we just had. You know, every new semester you gotta kind of figure out when you're gonna do things that you want to do during the day with the class schedule that you have, and I felt like I just got into the flow of it, but now it kind of got broken up, so I just gotta refine that. Mm-hmm. As far as schoolwork, I am supposed to on Monday lead a discussion in our class about Locke's opinion of the free will. I'm in a philosophy class that I'm taking for a writing credit, since I still need that. And so that'll be interesting. So I got to prepare that.
Exciting. What are your thoughts on Locke's, what was it?
His opinion of the free will.
Of the free will.
Yes. Well, Locke doesn't like the common discourse
opinions
on it. Is
he the tabula rasa, the blank slate?
No, he's not that guy.
Fudge, okay.
Yes, he is that guy.
Oh.
yeah, just kidding, you're right. We just talked about that last class, actually. That's funny that you bring that up. But, yeah, he doesn't believe in that the will, like the question of free will is correct, because he believes that the will is different than liberty. Liberty is actually being able to do what you will, and then will is just, like, wanting to do one thing or the other, kind of. So he, like, tries to ask a different question, sort of.
So he does or does not believe in free will?
He does not.
He does not believe in free will, and then he makes his own definition for what will is?
He says will is just like wanting one thing or the other, and the ability to actually do that thing that you want to do is called liberty. And so he's like, does man have liberty? That's the new question that he asks, kind of.
Okay.
And he says it's kind of for him. Kind of. as most philosophers kind of do. They don't really come at it direct, you know. Kind of skates it a little bit.
I believe this is the man who didn't he like drive the like our governmental system? Wasn't he a big factor in that?
Yes, he was the Manifest Destiny guy. So he's like,
oh,
we can take over the land of the Native Americans since they're not being productive with it. Okay. That was like his main argument, and that's kind of catalyzed the removal of a lot of tribes. So.
Okay.
Not the best dude ever, morally.
It was kind of, so he says it was like our destiny to take over that land. So he's arguing that we don't have free will.
Not really. I don't know if it was our destiny, but he says like we can because they're not being productive and God like wants production from land or something like that.
Well, good luck with
classic
that.
Classic Eurocentric kind of view there, but.
Sure.
What else are you going to expect from a guy like Big Johnny?
Man. That's unfortunate. Sounds like very vague sentiments. Is also passionate about racist sentiments.
Yeah, he's a bit of a racist. Yeah, it's kind of the 17th century guys all were to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Man. Okay.
What doesn't this podcast have?
We're an eclectic podcast, that's for sure. Yeah, I think it's just strange for me, kind of going off that that free will vibe, you know, coming back from spring break. You know, during spring break, you literally can do whatever you want. Like, we just did whatever we wanted, and now it's just like, okay.
What can you?
Easy, John Locke. Or Thomas Hobbes? Was he? I don't know. Okay. But it's just strange coming back. You know, these classes, you have homework you have to do. There's these meal times that you have to go to. Not that. That didn't constrict me during spring break. Never mind. But it's just, it's hard to go back from a complete freedom to set where your days, like what you have to do and things that you have, like have to get done for the next day. So hopefully next week that'll come around for me. Because I think one of my professors said like people after spring break are kind of still in, you know, spring break mood. And I kind of got that vibe on campus a little bit. One more thing I wanted to mention is that, you know, last year it got beautiful like during finals and like it's like already beautiful. Like you can like go outside, which is unfortunate for my study habits, but perhaps good for my morale. It might come crashing down come finals time. We'll see about that, but it's nice to see the sun out. You know, I'm excited about that. A good last spring for us.
Will and I have a theory that like it just, we don't like it sometimes when it's nice out. Because everyone wants you to be outside and doing something fun, and people love to tell you what to do. They're like, oh, you should be outside. Oh, you should be doing this. And I just, I think it's really nice to have like a cloudy day and still make something of it. Have the bar set low and then do something good.
Yeah, there's something about like, there's too many possibilities, you know.
When it's nice out.
When it's nice out. It's like, I heard this study where this group of psychologists, they gave like two menus. On one menu, there was like 3 items. Other menu, there was like 30 items. And on average, the people with the fewer choices were more happy with their choice. So I think that kind of comes along with that, you know, rainy day idea. Rainy day, okay, what can I do? I can be inside, I can either study or, you know, a couple other things. So I think that rings true.
I like that analogy. Occasion, yeah. Well, also, it's way more practical in the inventory sense for the restaurant to have fewer options. So think about that. Your restaurateurs out there.
That's true. If you guys would start a restaurant, what kind of restaurant would it be?
Sweet and salty. Every dish has something.
So you have multiple different authentic foods.
Right? No, but every dish has to have like one thing that's sweet and one thing that's salty.
Okay. Oh, so like it's not like sweet and sour chicken where like the sweet and salty.
That would be allowed.
Oh. I thought you wanted like 2 items. Like you have like a Reese's peanut butter cup next to like.
Yeah. I want 2 items on the plate.
Okay.
And yeah, one sweet, one sweet.
That's kind of a novel idea. That's kind of cool. Huh.
I think I'd call mine the Real Bowls line, and it would be actual Asian food that's not like sugarized to hell.
Right.
That's like the one that we have here.
I was going to say that's a subtle shot at Samuel, but then never mind. Yeah, but their bowls line is pretty bad, isn't it? That's probably my least visited line.
Well, also, like, why do you call Asian food bowls? Like, you know what I mean? I understand that they serve it in a bowl, but wouldn't it reference the kind of nature of the food better if you call it something different?
What's the tortilla line? Or
is it called tortilla?
Is it called tortilla? Okay.
And then grill is The grill.
They should call it like so, walking bowl or something like that.
Wait, that's amazing.
Wait, for the bowls line?
Walking bowl.
Walking bowl.
Rock and roll.
Oh, that's fun. That's fun. Perhaps offensive, but yeah, get into that.
I went to a Mexican Asian fusion restaurant.
Oh, that's fun.
Which I never knew that like Mexican food would like or pair well with Asian food. I'm convinced that like a couple just got married and like one was like from like Asia and one was like from like Puerto Rico or Mexico. Yeah.
Why Puerto Rico? He moved there after he studied.
Wait,
you said Mexican.
You had Asian. It's Mexican Asian. You said Asia,
and then you said Puerto Rico is where he's from.
Were you worried about saying Mexico?
Maybe. It's too obvious.
Oh man.
Anyways, okay. Anyways, yeah, I'm convinced that these two people just got married and they're like, "Hey, let's create this."
Wait, where are they from again?
Let's move on.
That does sound pretty good, though. I've always wanted to start like a pizza joint, you know, with like all these different, like really unique flavors, like pizza. I'm making this up right now. I actually haven't thought about this a lot, so when I said that earlier, I was lying. But I've always wanted to start this pizza joint. It'd be called Dan's Pizzas, and it would just be, you know, like tomato sauce, cheese, but then the cherry on top. That's my catchphrase, is I would be putting, it'd be cherries all over the pizza. So it's kind of like, it's a fruit pizza. So you get your dairy, you get your fruit. Cause you know, you know, pizza's a vegetable, but I'm trying to, according to like the, National Food Administration, but I want to make it into a fruit, you know, cause tomatoes are fruits and I want people to know that. So tomatoes, cherries, and cheese. So that'll be Dan's Pizzas. I'm coming to you next year, hopefully.
Gordon Ramsay just just came out and said that pineapple should never be on a pizza.
Wow. And the National Food Administration is not a thing.
It's probably the FDA that he's.
Yeah, that's
it.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know, actually.
I've never been a fan of pineapples on my pizza anyway.
Oh, man. It has changed my life recently.
Really? Wow.
I could do a mean Hawaiian.
I'm going to say right now, the Paz Pizza sausage and pineapple pizza is the best combination.
Oh, that's,
yeah.
Hey, that's
not the classic
sweet
one.
And salty, right? That's perfect.
There we
go. That would
go.
Be a dish.
First dish.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has changed my life this year.
Mm-hmm. For dessert, salted nut roll.
There you go. Nut goodie.
Oh. Mm-hmm. That's good.
They're making
I
a
love
comeback.
Nut goodies.
Oh, so good.
They are very good.
So good.
I wish they would dip them in chocolate, though.
I mean, that'd still be sweet and salty, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I think that
would
work.
Come on over.
Okay. Can I bring my cherry pizza?
Yeah, it works.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, sweet and salty.
It's a crowdsourced menu.
So we're halfway into our show. I don't know if you guys brought any segments to today's show that you'd like to share.
Didn't have much to prepare. More
That's
just
fine.
That we have a dismal soccer team.
The Minnesota. Would you like to expand on that?
I just know they're on pace to have the most goals allowed by any MLS team ever.
Okay.
And that's pretty tough. It looks like we just made like a trade an hour ago for some other guys that have 5,000 Twitter followers. Yeah. So,
for really, you old timers really out there, that's not a lot of
no
Twitter followers. Yeah, it's unfortunate. Just another Minnesota sports franchise. You get your hopes up one more time and just crushed again. And, you know, me being from Wisconsin, I don't. It's like I have, you know, the greatest franchise in the history of sports, you know, in my home state, the Green Bay Packers. So, I mean, I don't know what it's like to be following losers all the time. So,
but you might sympathy maybe? Or, yeah.
Oh, what?
You feel sympathetic though, right?
Sympathy implies that I understand how you're feeling, but I don't. It's just hard for me.
I think
you're
thinking of
it's
empathy.
Just so different.
Yeah, because I don't think
sympathy.
Sympathy,
you don't
that.
Need to.
Okay, what's sympathy is just understanding that you guys.
No, that'll be empathy, really.
Okay,
sympathy, you don't have to have an understanding. You just feel bad for the decades
you
of
see
anguish.
The struggle.
Oh,
yeah.
Right. Okay,
feelings of pity and sorrow for someone else's misfortune.
Okay, yes, I feel sympathetic. Thank you, Hayden.
That's what I'm here for.
You know how Reno has, like, I don't know if you guys have ever seen Reno 911? but yeah. they like have like the big sign in the front. Mm-hmm. I think Minneapolis needs to have one that's partially built that says like rebuilding as the slogan.
Oh my god.
Every team we have is just like we're always like the 20th best team in the league for everything.
Not even like average, like always like
no, just like four spots below average.
Yeah.
So it's the perfect spot to say like we don't have many teams that have like sucked recently. The Twins you could pick out a couple of years.
Last year?
What?
Last year they were last in the league.
Well, see, I don't watch the Twins that much.
Okay.
So there's that.
One stone. But,
yeah. But the Wolves are the classic, like, finish 20th and always have young people. So you can always just say they're rebuilding. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then even the Vikings, where did they start, like 5-0 or 6-0 this year? Missed the playoffs.
Yeah, it's just choking.
Do you guys, like, ever lose faith or do you kind of revel in the fact that it's you know, it's weird you haven't gotten that tag of, like, oh, no, like, I feel like the aw shucks, like, the lovable losers. You really haven't gotten that tag.
It makes for good bar talk and sympathy between interested genders. Because, you know, you can just be this, like, softy who still believes in this team. Where if I'm, like, a Lakers fan,
It's kind of okay, like, cool. Arrogant. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you're a Minnesota sports fan. That must be, like, really, like, hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay.
Okay. Already off on a good foot.
Very cool. Let's take a quick break. I'm going to play a song. It will not be included in the podcast, but I'll just play a quick song for you guys. Listening live.
Exclusive.
We are back. We are back. We're going to start it off with the one and only Euro Minute by Cal. Here we go.
Welcome, everybody. This is the part of the show where I take you through an entire continent's biggest sporting events from the last week.
I'm going to pause real quick. It's sponsored by Cal's Dog.
Oh, yes. Sponsored by Canute. How you doing, Canute? Okay. Woof, woof. So our first story from today is that the Rugby Six Nations Cup has concluded, and the surprise result of the round was that England had their unbeaten streak broken by Ireland. In Ireland, they lost 13-9. Also from the Rugby Six Nations Cup, we had Scotland blanking Italy 29-0. So the Italians suffered after the controversy you might remember we talked about last week. Or not last week, but last time. We had some cricket action. A surprise result, Afghanistan defeating Ireland in a best out of five series, ODI. So that's a big win for the Afghans there. Turning to soccer news, the biggest story is that Manchester United are set to release the buyout clause on Neymar's contract, which requires a 200 million euro buyout fee, which would be smashing the largest ever, which was Paul Pogba, which they just got last summer. And in addition to that, his wages would be over $500,000 per week just on his salary. So that is a huge story, obviously, breaking up the strong Barca trio, perhaps. Also, we had the Champions League second legs concluding, the rest of the second legs. And so the new matchups are set. It's going to be Juventus versus Barcelona, Dortmund versus Monaco, Atletico Madrid versus Leicester City, and Bayern Munich versus Real Madrid. So those will be some tantalizing matches there for you to wet the palate. But then we got the Premier League was on international break, and Germany and Spain continued their undefeated runs, and they lead their qualifying groups for the World Cup next year. That has been the Euro Minute.
Thank you, Cal.
Okay, I have a question. That $500,000 player a week, what's the name again?
Neymar.
I'm sorry to say, but nobody is worth on this planet $500,000 a week.
What if they bring in $500,000 a week?
I don't. Do you really think like one game makes them $500,000?
They play
having
twice a week.
Neymar on the field.
They get his jersey sales too.
I mean, so. I understand
an initial,
it's a lot,
but, initial boost.
I think that's ridiculous, but I mean, that's.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be complaining if it was me.
So. Tom Brady got his $14 million today from like a signing bonus.
Wow!
Mm-hmm.
Wow!
Just yummy, yummy.
One day deposit $14 million.
I'd like to cash this check.
How much is that per week?
250?
Yeah.
That's quite a bit.
Wow.
How's Leicester doing in the Premiership table?
They're starting to refine their form, Dan. They've won three out of their last four matches.
Oh, good for them.
And they're pretty much safe from the drop, I would say, at this point.
Good for them. Good for them.
So, maybe finding their coach was the right decision.
Or maybe if they didn't fire him, they'd be at the top.
Ooh.
Well, that's they were take. In relegation zone when they fired him. So.
Yes.
Can you believe?
Can you believe for 1 second? I'd just like to mention the sponsorship for the show today, brought to you by Joy Hagen. And she is sponsoring in honor of my uncle, Christopher George Hagen, who was my father's oldest brother.
If I remember correctly, she sponsored Walking Through Manitou, and now we're going to have to give another sponsorship. So
okay. Well, she's sponsoring part of the show today.
Okay.
Walking Through Manitou will not have a segment this week, unfortunately. Yeah. Mm. So I'd like to go right into our next segment, Ask the Mac. Welcome, Ryan McElrath.
Hello! This is your bi-weekly segment of Ask the Mac, where you guys send in questions. I have my own radio show, actually, on the side.
So, wait, bi-weekly is twice a week or every other week?
You see, I have
not
some,
confused.
Like...
confused.
No, I've taken some meetings, like, and people come in and ask questions, and then I kind of make my own podcast to rival this one.
So twice a week?
Twice a week, yeah. Okay. Anyways, you guys send in questions, and I try to answer them to the, I guess, the best of my abilities. I'm not a licensed psychologist, and none of the views and opinions said on this segment represent the views of St. Olaf College. So, with that being said, let's jump in with Riley from Anoka County. Yes, this we're getting popular. We're more people are hearing this radio show. Anyway, his question is: should men wear Uggs? Lately, I've been wanting a pair of men Uggs classics, classic shorts. I like the looks, but I want a pair for, gosh, okay, words today. lately I've been wanting a pair of men's Uggs classic short. I like the looks and I want a pair of them for comfort. So what do you think? Should men wear Uggs? If you're a guy, girls too, and wow. If you're a guy, girls too. And what is it? Jude, Riley from Anoka County, you really have to work on your grammar here. Anyways, the question is, what do you guys think? Should men wear Uggs? He's like, no wisecracks about being a little feminist. Or, wow, feminine. Men, they were made for men. So, should he wear them?
Okay.
Were Uggs originally made for men? The general question.
I don't know. And didn't they come from, like, Australia first, Uggs?
I couldn't tell you that.
I'm on it.
I just know it's a very middle school and high school girl thing wear Ugg boots. So he's referencing boots that are short.
Yeah, the short.
They're not shorts. They're boots.
Yeah. No, okay. I think they're like the calf height, I would say, like mid-calf.
Mid-calf?
I mean, like, if, well...
That seems pretty high.
Looking, I'm raising my foot onto the table to show where...
Sure.
Where,
I'd say upper shin.
Yeah, upper shin. Okay, not upper calf,
I would say lower shin, honestly.
Lower shin?
If it's a low, okay. can we do some recon on this? I think what are we doing? Short Uggs?
Can we get some photos?
Short Uggs. That's lower shin.
Wow.
It's mid shin.
Hayden says mid shin.
Mid shin. Hayden says mid shin.
We'll go with the arbitrator on that.
We'll leave it at mid shin. You know, when it was low shin, I was thinking that's okay. But, you know, mid shin, I think the higher your boots, the less men are able to wear them, in my opinion.
Yeah. They're definitely more tailored towards women, I will say. But I would say in this generation, anything goes.
Sure.
You can, like, I would recommend any males to go out of their comfort zone and do the things that they feel comfortable doing.
That's powerful.
Wait, go out of their comfort zone.
Shut up.
And do
Shut up. I was on a roll.
Just stay in your comfort zone.
So get out of your comfort zone and be comfortable in Uggs.
Be comfortable.
Oh my gosh, we need to sell that to Uggs.
Yeah.
To like this is like to men. Like get out of your comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
Get comfortable.
Let's trademark that.
Wow.
And then like license it out.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. Have you ever worn Uggs, McElrath?
I own a pair of Uggs.
Wow.
Yes.
Oh.
So I.
Do you live in? Do you live in Anoka County? Perchance?
I do not live in Anoka County.
Just wondering.
No. But
where's the objectivity then?
Well, okay, I should mention that I don't own a pair of mid mid shin.
Okay. Oh, so you're really a high shin or a low shin?
So we're talking apples and oranges now.
I'm talking about slippers. Oh, so they slippers. Are they so are that's the lowest shin that you can
do you wear them in public?
Yeah, yeah. Freshman year, I walked around campus in them.
Wait
during
a
the
second.
Winter.
That was a present tense question. Do you wear them in public?
Well, I mean, I don't not anymore because. I don't.
They're not as cool.
They're not as cool.
I mean, I think Uggs in general have just gotten on a style.
So you're a hype beast, is that what I mean?
I mean, I'm just saying I have owned a pair of Uggs in the past. I have worn them out in public. I felt very comfortable and not judged by
anybody
else.
I mean, Uggs below the shin and Uggs mid shin are two completely different animals, and I'm not even being facetious right now. I think Ugg slippers are indistinguishable from other slippers, whereas mid-shin Uggs cannot be...
Anything goes with the slippers, I think.
When you say Uggs, they think Uggs boots.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. Nothing can be... Those are Uggs. You know, when you look at Uggs boots, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. So.
Hayden's got a hot take. Go for it, Hayden.
I actually do not. I'm going to try to avoid controversy. I don't want to say anything too provocative, so... I'm just... Wait,
we appreciate that.
Yes. Thank you. Just going to lay low
on
this
question.
That was
a test, question. And you passed.
PC Williams, they call him. Back to the topic.
Let's. Hayden will just be here for grammar from now on. We appreciate that. And meanings.
Looks like they got their start because Oprah put them in her favorite things in 2003.
Really?
So that's just like cheating, I think. Mm-hmm. Like that woman could recommend a paperclip and it would go nuts. So. And then Kate Upton and Blake Lively started wearing them.
Blake Lively is a female. Right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Kate Upton is too. By the way,
I appreciate that.
All females. So,
So I think until you get that men endorsement, I think maybe lay off them.
Yeah, until Justin Verlander starts wearing Uggs during his pregame.
Kate Upton's husband. Yes.
Just what's the practicality of having a boot that high unless it's like keeping water or snow out?
Isn't that the practicality?
Isn't a snow boot? Would you wear
a... I think it's an all-terrain boot, usually worn in
ATV.
fall and winter.
Okay.
Yes. Right. I wonder if they make sandals, like Uggs. that's just... I digress.
Yes, I think we've beat the Uggs to death,
yeah,
as it were. So let's go to the next question.
I think they're made out of kangaroo leather.
And just a brief question from our sponsor. This is coming from Uggs Men's. Get out of your comfort zone. And get comfortable. Uggs Men's. All right, Ryan, go for it.
There we go. All right, so this one is now coming from Steven in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. How do you charge an iPhone 5 without a charger? Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
Well, let's dive into this one. My iPhone 5 is fully out of battery and it won't turn on, and I don't have my charger with me. What do I do? I've heard rubbing it vigorously might help, but I don't know how long to do it or whether or not it will work completely with an uncharged iPhone 5. I need to know for sure whatever I'm doing works for my particular model, the iPhone 5. Well, Steven, we've all been in this case where we don't have a charger.
We've all been in these Uggs before.
We've all...
Shoes? Okay, sorry. I'll delete that one.
Well, okay, Steven.
We'll all be in those shoes. We've all been in those shoes before.
Do you guys remember back on Facebook like a few years ago when they kept saying you can charge your iPhone by putting it in the microwave?
No.
And people fell for it like no other. And there's just videos of people just destroying their whole phone. So I would say first, like, you have no other choice, I think. You know, you ran out of options. So you might have to microwave your phone.
Hey, we've got one. We've got one, I guess.
We're already brainstorming here. Yeah.
One way, I guess.
I know. It works for, like, metal forks and, like, metal knives. Uh-huh. So why wouldn't it work for your phone, I guess?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. It's just electricity, that's all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Easily harnessed.
I would say, you know, you can just use any plug.
Any plug.
Just kind of get an extension cord.
Yeah.
And just kind of... plug it into your... I don't know how, but I'm sure there's a...
Also, just like an HDMI cord and just like hammer it in there, maybe?
Yeah. Something like that.
I have an idea.
Okay.
It's a little different. Get two young lovers near it and let the electricity in the room charge the phone.
Oh.
I like that one. All right. I've got two Hayden might have. Oh, Hayden. Hayden Williams.
Personally, I just think if you rub it forcefully enough and you believe hard enough, it will charge.
Static.
It's a mindset.
Static, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mindset.
Challenging the scientific paradigms of electricity is Hayden.
Okay, I've got two recommendations.
Okay.
If you have just the, the actual cord. Or, like you said, you can just, take whatever piece of metal and just, shove it into the iPhone 5, and then I hear that lemons conduct electricity.
Like lemon clocks? Like potato clocks?
Exactly. Sort of,
yeah,
well. So, I honestly think I've tried this in the past, of trying to charge my iPhone with a lemon or, an orange or something crazy like that.
Would you do?
Wait.
Did you, squeeze lemon juice into your phone? Or?
No, I had a little bit more... I had the actual correct cable for I think my iPod, let's say. I think I was 10 or 11.
You had a lemon charging cable for your iPod?
I like you said with the microwave, I read it off of the internet and I...
You had a cell phone when you were 10?
This is the bigger issue.
I had an iPod when I was 10.
Oh.
Yes. And yeah.
Shuffle or?
My dad had a classic. And one of those with the four buttons on top of the scroll wheel. We're going real retro.
Oh, whoa. Yeah.
That's worth $20 now.
Or maybe a lot.
Yeah.
It's new.
But anyways, so I don't remember if that was successful or not, but I would recommend trying it out. I also think if you take a knife, you file one of the ends down so you could slide it into the iPhone 5, and then you just stick the other end, get a real good grip and just shove it into an outlet.
Okay.
And I think that should technically start charging your phone.
Okay. I think we could run into some legal issues with that last statement, Ryan. Yeah. So maybe reconsider.
All right.
But he already said his disclaimer earlier, right? So that still applies.
Oh, that he's not a licensed psychologist. Okay.
Yeah, that's good enough.
So, yeah, really, you shouldn't be taking my advice. But, take it with a grain of salt.
Sure. Okay.
So, yeah, those are my two options. And we had a third question, but I think we're going to save that
I
for
think
another,
we're gonna
save
that
it for
next
another
week. Yeah.
Show. So.
Yeah, we only got 5 minutes left here. So.
Yeah.
It was a good show.
Time flies.
Time flies when you're having fun, man.
When you're stepping out of your comfort zone.
Last minute. Oh, final four picks. I like that, Hayden. I'm going to go South Carolina over Stanford and then UConn to win the other one, and then UConn over South Carolina in the championship.
Go Huskies!
And what about you guys?
I've got Duke going all the way.
They're already out.
I've just been focusing a little more on the men's tournament. I was going to... I've got UNC all the way.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's the other one?
But I also don't like dynasties. I was telling someone else about this today. I don't get that ESPN puts stats up like Carolina in the last 150 years has won this many games.
Well, if
in the
you want
Final
to talk
Four.
About dynasties, but, you should but, talk about UConn women's basketball.
That's the thing. I don't care because it's like these guys didn't play on that team 100 years ago.
Uh-huh. It's still the same coach, Gino Auriemma.
100 years ago.
Hayden, what's your picks?
Well, I think I'm gonna have to take Gonzaga. Won it all.
Mark Few,
yeah. They are ranked the first best adjusted defensive team in the country. And overall, in terms of analytics, they are currently the best team. So, but I think it'll be a close one, another buzzer beater between Carolina and Gonzaga. So another classic.
14th best defense in the country, though. So that's their dagger.
I will take Oregon over Gonzaga in the final. Bold.
Ooh.
Okay.
Like Juicy J, I'm different.
So,
or is that 2 Chainz?
Going. Okay. So I guess my pick for the less important tournament, since you guys took the other three, I'll be taking the Gamecocks to win it in...
NIT?
What? South Carolina? Aren't they the Gamecocks?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So we'll see next week. It's going to happen this week, right? The Final
Saturday.
Four. Saturday. Oh, sweet.
Saturday.
So next week we'll hear the results and talk about that for a little bit.
We might get a press pass.
Is betting on Gamecocks legal?
Hey.
Press pass?
Press pass.
Get a press pass to the Final Four and do a live show there.
Oh, that would be neat.
Yeah,
actually, Hayden, we're planning on flying you out to, is it Houston?
Yeah, he's our correspondent.
Yeah, we're thinking about flying. We already bought the tickets. You're going to be flying out to Houston, so you'll be our...
Phoenix. Yeah, I actually already have a dinner reservation with Sir Charles
this evening. So. Okay, very nice.
The ugliest sideline correspondent in the Final Four. Tough competition.
He's not saying you are that. He's saying, yes. Who do you think?
Oh, who is? I would have to say you cannot simply judge beauty by physical appearance. It is the soul that is the most important attribute. So I'm going to have to take a hard pass.
So
on
who is
question.
The best soul in the Final Four?
Best soul.
The best soul.
Heard it here first.
Grant Hill is he's a great guy. Great announcer.
Unreal Pizza Hut commercial.
Yes. So I would go with Grant Hill.
Love it. Love it.
If nobody has any more closing thoughts, I think we'll wrap it up. Does anybody have anything profound to say to our audience?
That one Penn State guy that said we have no more sympathy for the victims of Jerry Sandusky's crimes, I thought that was reprehensible, to say the least.
Yes, very unfortunate.
Keep stepping out of your comfort zone. But comfortable.
In comfortable shoes.
Yeah, in comfortable shoes. Uggs.
Oh. So even if you're outside your comfort zone, you'll always be comfortable. That's actually we'll talk about
no,
this.
No, I don't, no.
We're going to call it lawyers.
No, we're just time is up. But I think that's a very good slogan, actually. Mm-hmm. Okay, never mind. It is 6:59, so that means the show is up, almost. So I just like to thank all of our listeners. We'll be here next week. And we'll be chock full of segments once again. And I appreciate you guys listening. Until next time.
Go Loons.